It is Friday. Glad to have you here through the whole week. Fighting for Montana. That's what Mr. Gianforte is going to do, because despite slamming a reporter, well, you can still win in some places. Leaks, leaks, leaks has the UK unwilling to give the United States a whole bunch of intel now. Jared's under the gun. The NSA and Obama spied 24/7. I say silence them all. And what do you really believe? Seriously, ask yourself, what do you really believe? It's time for a conversation. Are you ready? The hotline number, 888-900-9966. Get ready. This is The Steve Gruber Show.
This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is The Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical. It's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
You know what's really sad? The mainstream media, their whole plan now, their whole plan is to blame Donald Trump, by the way, for Greg Gianforte's confrontation in Montana with a reporter from the alt-left newspaper, The Guardian, the radical left paper that's had, you know, questionable headlines, to say the least, over a long period of time. But these people on MSNBC, on CNN, say it's Donald Trump's fault for, you know, this narrative against the media has generated the kind of atmosphere where reporters are in danger. You see, an altercation between one man and another guy because they're both being aggressive. Anyhow, if you haven't figured out, Greg Gianforte, the Republican who slammed a reporter to the ground 2 days ago, won the election by a wide margin with a walkaway, 51% to 44%. Democrats, their hopes dashed again. In a few minutes here, we'll talk to Dominic Braca. He is from KMMS in Bozeman, Montana, a station I used to work for, by the way back in a different lifetime. Anyhow, he'll be here from the Gallatin Valley to talk about the events leading up to the election and what happened and how Gianforte came out on top. So it's pretty incredible that despite all that, the Democrats still, when he still couldn't pull it off, the Democrats thinking they're going to get another upset, again, disappointed. There's your bellwether. A Republican can be accused of a crime and still win by a wide margin. Here's your question. How do you feel about early voting now? How do you feel about that now? I mean, seriously, if you go and vote, what if this guy committed a more serious, what if he committed a felony? There's a lot of early voting that went on. I was talking to Alex earlier. He heard as high as 70%. I'm not sure, but the point is there's a lot of early voting that goes on in a lot of places. And as a result, people vote before, so it's the day before the election, something happens, it's a big deal, and yet there's nothing you can do about it because you've already voted. How does this, see, that's why sometimes early voting goes too far. All right, so another explosive development yesterday in the leaks from Washington. Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the UK, confronted Donald Trump, not him directly or specifically, but because of the continued leaks about the Manchester terrorist attack investigation. Pictures ending up on the front of the New York Times. The New York Times defending itself and its coverage, saying, we did just fine. Don't worry about us. And yet their coverage was problematic. But they were out there Thursday defending publishing crime scene photos from the Manchester terror attack. Donald Trump now demanding that the Department of Justice get to the bottom of it. The Times saying in a statement that its coverage in the attack has been both comprehensive and responsible. The newspaper added that published photos of the evidence gathered at Manchester Arena were neither graphic nor disrespectful of victims. The pictures provided detailed evidence of the bomb used in the Manchester attack. Prime Minister Theresa May and other top British officials criticized the leaks angrily. Trump blasted U.S. officials for the leaks on Thursday, calling them deeply troubling, although it's unclear whether the Times received the photos from U.S. officials or elsewhere. The name of the bomber, Salman Abedi, disclosed to the U.S. media just as raids were underway both in Manchester and in Libya, where the bomber's father lived and was subsequently arrested. But it could have certainly changed the outcome of that investigation. These leaks have been going on for a long time. Since the president, my administration is going to get to the bottom of this. The leaks of sensitive information pose a grave threat to our national security. You see, at some point, these leaks, they're not just out to hurt the president and his administration anymore. They're almost nihilistic in nature in that they want to attack America. It seems to me these leakers are just as happy to hurt America any way they can. And are these the members of the administration that are permanent, that don't change, the holdovers from the Obama administration? What exactly is going on here? I think it's a combination of those two things. I mean, these are extremely concerning. And the leaks ought to concern us all. Just because it helps your team one day, don't cheer for those leaks until you dig a little bit deeper and figure out what it could really mean. And I hope that the Department of Justice gets serious about rooting out these leaks. I hope the Department of Justice gets serious about finding and prosecuting these leakers, because it is putting you and I at risk every day. On another front, the NSA that was in place when Barack Obama was president has been rebuked, that is, for snooping on Americans. And now some journalists say it is showing a wide pattern. The street court, the secret court that oversees government snooping, took the Obama administration to task late last year, suggesting it created a very serious Fourth Amendment issue by violating rules the government itself had implemented regarding the surveillance of Americans. According to top secret documents made public by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, often referred to as the FISA Court, the government admitted that just days before the 2016 election, NSA analysts were violating surveillance rules on a regular basis, on a daily basis. This pattern of overreach, coupled with the timing of the government's disclosure, resulted in an unusually harsh rebuke of the administration's practices and principles. The Obama administration did this routinely from 2011 through 2016 after requesting and being granted relaxing the rules involving such investigations. Relaxing the rules on who could be unmasked. The Obama administration asked for and received that in 2011 and promised, don't worry, we're not going to violate any rules. Then immediately thereon, they did violate the rules and continuously violated the rules until they were busted and had to finally admit it. A former CBS journalist suing the federal government for spying on her said the documents prove the illegal snooping was pervasive and widely abused. That's Cheryl Atkinson, by the way, from CBS News. She was pushed out of CBS after she leveled those allegations that have now proven to be quite clearly true. After the break, Dominic will be here from KMMS, Bozeman, Montana, to talk about what happened there and much more. It's a Friday on the Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
It's Friday. Glad to have you aboard. Free for all Friday. That hotline number is 888-900-9966. It's amazing. The media is so poorly thought of in some places, you can literally dropkick one of them and still win an election. Greg Gianforte, the Republican that garnered all that national attention for body slamming a reporter from the extremely left-leaning Guardian newspaper, wins easily a walkaway 25,000 vote win over his challenger Rob Quist, the Democrat, about 51-44%. It looks like to me most of the precincts reporting now. I used to work in Bozeman, Montana. I used to live in the Gallatin Valley, so I reached out yesterday and found Dominic Brascia from KMMS Bozeman. It's a sister station, if you will, to this one right here that I'm sitting in. Dominic, welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be here.
Hey, glad to have you aboard. Now, we talked a little bit yesterday. You're not from Bozeman, correct?
How can you tell? Is it my accent?
It could be. It could be a dead giveaway. It sounds more like Long Island than Brooklyn.
I chose Bozeman. Said this would be a nice place to live.
It is.
Beautiful. But it's a little hard. In the beginning, people are like, you're not from Bozeman. You don't talk like us.
That's true. But here's what I was thinking about. It's like, you know, somebody picking up and slamming a reporter sounds like something you would see, you know, in Brooklyn or the Bronx where you're from. Nothing that would happen in Bozeman. I mean, Bozeman's a quiet, nice little cow town.
Now, I got to ask you, because this term body slamming, to me, it reminds me of in wrestling when they pick somebody up over their head and throw them down to the mat.
Yes.
Is that what we're saying Greg Gianforte did?
There's no way that happened. I was thinking about the same thing, Dominic. You're exactly right. No, he did not pick you up and do him a big old souple, which is what they called it in wrestling in high school, and bring him over his head and slam him to the ground. I don't think that happened, no, because the kid would have been in an ambulance, not talking and making comments about his broken glasses. I mean, I think he was pushed down. I don't know. You were there. What are you hearing?
Well, I hear that, first of all, Greg apologized last night when he won the election here. And he won it because I think the people were calling here like crazy yesterday. 95% of my callers were saying, hey, the press is out of line. He did that. Okay, we can forget him and move on. We don't want to vote for a guy, this Quisp guy, who is like pro-abortion and pro everything that we're not for here in Montana.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. You got your pulse there, and you've lived in New York and New Jersey and California. You've been a lot of the liberal hotbeds. So it's kind of a culture shock for you to be in both, as far as, you know, a different clientele, if you will. But what is the support for Donald Trump there? You know, we're 135 days in or whatever it's been, and he's getting bashed by the national media every day. But here in Michigan, where we sit out here and we're not, you know, in Manhattan or D.C., it seems to me the support for Donald Trump remains very strong. What is your sense in some place like Montana?
It does. The support is very, very strong here for him still in Montana. But what I think is happening is the people who are liberal or who are middle of the road, who don't even know much, there's so much negative stuff, negative press, negative this, that, you know, the average person doesn't pay a lot of attention to what's going on in the world. And if they keep hearing this guy's Trump's a liar, he's working as a spy from Russia, I think it's having more of an effect on the liberals, and it's giving them more ammunition. I've had people calling up saying, listen, Trump's a babbling idiot, and you're a jerk for supporting him.
But what, isn't that what they said before the election in November? I mean, isn't that identical? Trump's a Neanderthal. He's, you know, he's grabbing women. He's sexually assaulting them with his words, and you can never trust this guy, and my children would be ashamed to have him as president, and I have to weep now. So I'm going to go into my cry room. It hasn't changed, has it, Dominic?
Well, no, and especially when you say to these same people who are screaming, did you read Obama's book where he talks about doing cocaine and all the women he had? Why is that okay for Obama and Trump? You know, we want to crucify him.
It's a double standard. But, you know, you said a moment ago, liberals who don't know much. An oxymoron I'll give you, but true nonetheless. You see how easy that is?
You know, the thing I started to realize is conservatives, we listen to conservative media, and we can't get away from liberal media. So we have both sides. Liberals don't even know conservative media exists. So all they're getting everything from NBC, CBS, and CNN and all that. So when you tell them there's another side to the story, they look at you and their mouths open like a deer out here. Like, what?
What are you talking about? Yeah, you know, they don't play us in the rooms where they play with Play-Doh. They don't play us in the rooms where, you know, those safe spaces. They don't hear Dominic. They don't hear Gruber. You know, they don't get that, you know. You know, they're in there just making, you know, little, you know, Play-Doh snowmen. You know, they're happy. Life
is
good for them.
They're happy, and you know I always think that they mean good. They're just not thinking it through. You know, it's great. Obama just gave a speech yesterday saying all children from the world are our children, and we got to feed all the children. I'm thinking that's a nice thing to say, But we have to choose in America. Is my child going to be able to eat and get health care and go to school, or is my child going to lose that because we're going to let people in here from every country just waltz on in?
Well, that's the whole conversation, you see. And so there's my concern comes back to the other Republicans that are saying, we don't really want to do tax reform. You know, we're not sure we're going to overturn Obamacare. We're not sure about that southern border. You know, we're not sure about all these things that the president promised. You know, it was nice. It sounded great during the election. Got us all our jobs. We all got here because we voted for that. But, you know, doing the actual work of that, I don't think so, which bothers
me. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think is worse, the liberal Democrats who just hate Trump, or the Republican turncoats who are saying exactly what you're saying?
I think the Republicans are far worse. We've got them right here in Michigan, I'll guarantee you that. In Montana, you've got a very small crew. You can round them up easily. I got a lot more to deal with here in Michigan. Dominic, I greatly appreciate it. I have to run up against a break here, but thank you. You can come on anytime. Entertaining young man from New York, New Jersey, California, wherever it is you hailed from that dropped into the Gallatin Valley from a spaceship in the middle of Montana. Good fun for you, my friend. Good fun.
Thanks, bro.
You have a good day. Dominic Brascia, everybody. It's KMMS. If you're ever in the Gallatin Valley, head of the Yellowstone National Park, check him out, 1450 a.m. over there. Good conversation. 25 after that. It's going to make me smile for the rest of the day. 25 after, this is the Steve Gruber Show.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I done said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but it must have used the wrong car. Hit us in a bad place.
All right, it's 33 after. Kind of fun reading the Twitter explosion over the win in Montana by the Republican there, Gianforte. Pretty interesting. Shifting gears now, Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center, the Vice President of Business and Culture. Dan, welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be back. And yes, today is certainly an interesting news day with Montana.
It's entertaining.
I was watching late last night on CNN and interviewed one of the reporters that interviewed a few people who actually had gone out of their way to vote for Gianforte.
Because of the assault. Yeah, I just had a guy on the show here who does news talk in the Gallatin Valley there, where I used to live there, by the way, so I know the place pretty well. And he said he had about 95% of his callers yesterday were all like absolutely voting for him because he did this. I hate the press. And the press was like, how can you do this? This is terrible. You watch NBC yesterday, Dan. They're going, this is Donald Trump's fault for his narrative against the media. He created the atmosphere for this reporter to be attacked. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? I mean, say, how do you stretch from this is Donald Trump's, it's Donald Trump's fault that these guys had a physical altercation in Bozeman, Montana? Really? I mean.
Well, see, in the media's mind, they do nothing wrong. That they've never been biased to conservatives. They're completely neutral. They are instead completely clueless. My entire life, they've been biased. If you go back in history to 1960 election, which is as far back as my work has taken me, you find them biased trying to aid John F. Kennedy in the election.
No question.
And then you work your way through to Vietnam War, to Nixon, et cetera. The media have had an agenda. They dragged the nation left on every major issue, from gun control to politics to immigration, and then they wonder why people think that they're biased.
Well, what they're baffled about is I think it's bigger than that, Dan. They're baffled because no matter how long they harp on it, or they use the word collusion, now they shift to obstruction of justice, and they demand this, and they call Trump that, and they throw this dirt, they throw that dirt, and they call his supporters and voters, knuckle-draggers and Neanderthals and racists and xenophobes and everything else, and yet he still wins. And they're like, well, that doesn't make sense, so let's say it more and let's say it louder. What they don't seem to understand in places like Montana or Michigan, where I'm sitting today, and a whole host of other places, this doesn't weaken Donald Trump. This strengthens Donald Trump. Well, the polls say that Donald Trump, has a poor rating. You've been telling us that for 2 years almost. It doesn't really matter what you, it's been almost 2 years now since Donald Trump announced that he was running for president. And the attack has been continuous ever since that time. And today I still believe that if the election were held today, Donald Trump would win by a wider margin over Hillary Clinton than he did on the 8th of November of 2016.
Well, I wrote a piece this week, and when I was doing the research, because the topic of the witch hunt against Donald Trump came up. You saw the comments Donald Trump said no politician had ever been subjected to a stronger witch hunt, and he's right about that because social media alone changes that narrative. But so I was going back, and I realized back in 2015, April 2015, I had written a media witch hunt against Donald Trump piece and for Fox, and it's so true. What's amazing is how much worse they've gotten, and how much they are trying to say he's buried. They do this impeachment talk. I think there's nothing more demented than
based on what. Yeah, and I look at this and all sorts of folks making that conversation. It's time for impeachment. You know, Maxine Waters, who's clearly not on her meds again today. You have Lawrence O'Donnell, who is just out to lunch every day. Oh, it's time for impeachment. Impeachment based on what exactly? What crime? Because James Comey got fired? That's not illegal. Donald Trump talked to the Russians? That's not illegal. Where exactly would you hang your hat? Where is the crime? And the comparisons to Watergate are astoundingly stupid. There was an actual crime in Watergate. There was a break-in, you may remember.
Yeah, and the reaction from the press is, well, it's because we didn't like it. The ultimate reason why the press wants to impeach Donald Trump is because basically Donald Trump ran against them. And so they failed in their narrative to defeat Donald Trump. If you go back, they campaigned against John McCain. They campaigned against Mitt Romney. They campaigned against George W. Bush. They just lost that.
Well, I'd point your finger all the way farther back to the op-eds written about Ronald Reagan, how he was going to how this simpleton actor was going to drag us into World War III, and you couldn't be trusted with the bomb and all of that. I mean, you can go back and find these editorials in the news. I've done it.
Well, there's only four things. It comes down to the media say Republicans or conservatives are crazy, evil, racist, or stupid, and it's you're allowed to get multiple. So, for instance, George H.W. Bush, well, he was evil because he had run the CIA.
Right.
Ronald Reagan was both crazy and stupid. Crazy because, he's going to get us in war with Russians, and then stupid because he said he's senile. And then, of course, George W. Bush, he's because they thought he was evil.
He was the spawn of Satan.
Yes, and you get to Trump, and they just wanted to throw all of them at Trump.
Right. Okay. Even though Trump really is probably is close to an independent that we've ever had in my lifetime. He's not truly a Republican or a conservative. He's not truly a Democrat. He doesn't, he kind of runs his own deal, whatever that seems to be on any given day. But the attacks are relentless. But I don't, what they really ought to spend their time doing, they being the Democrats or even the mainstream media, they ought to have, assignments where they have to go, live a weekend in Peoria, Illinois, and go to the bowling alley on Friday night and drink beer and bowl and learn what people in that part of the country that actually vote think. Wouldn't that be a good class exercise?
Well, except they wouldn't bother. They would go there and lecture them, and they would refuse to embrace their. You can't. They're not willing to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. And those in the press, and I've known a bunch of people in the press. They spent a couple of decades in journalism. Those in the press who have come from those backgrounds generally avoid them, and they say, "Well, I don't hang out with my family now, or we don't get along," because they move to places like New York, L.A., Washington, and maybe Chicago if they move in the middle of the country. And those places have totally different realities from the rest of the country, particularly the coastal elite places. And look, I live north of D.C. I live closer to Baltimore because I'm from Baltimore, and I've never really embraced the D.C. culture.
Right.
But you could certainly say, you're part of the coastal elite. And the difference is I wouldn't disagree. I think it probably affects things because I feel like I have to fight back against it. But my family lives in blue-collar parts of Baltimore, and I think that keeps me grounded.
Well, then it does. My roots still come back to Lansing, Michigan, in this part of the country where when I grew up there were 7 General Motors, assembly plants. There's a few less now, but General Motors is still the big footprint here and across Michigan. And I know lots of people that work there, or Michigan State University. I feel grounded to this tethered, if you will, to this environment. So I think the same thing that happens for me happens for you, and that's a good thing. Dan, I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word.
Well, it comes down to looking forward. Expect the media to keep doing this. They put all their chips on the table, and they either defeat Trump or he defeats them.
Right. Well, you know, I wouldn't underestimate him. They've been doing that for an awfully long time. It hasn't worked out. Dan, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Dan Gaynor, the Media Research Center Vice President. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show. Back with Phil Kirpin and American Commitment after this.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Take the last train to Clarksville and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30 because I've made your reservation. Don't be slow.
All right, it is Friday. I'm glad you're part of the conversation. The president so far has been having a great deal of difficulty fulfilling his campaign promises. Building the Southern Wall because, well, Republicans are creating problems for him there. Repealing and replacing Obamacare because Republicans are blocking him there. Moving tax reform through Congress because Republicans are blocking it. His problem really isn't with Democrats. It's with feckless weasel Republicans that, you know, ran on the promises Barack Obama had put up there and having those changed by President Trump. And so Trump's agenda was what they ran on and won on and are running away from. And I'm telling you, this is not a good path for them. Phil Kirpin here, the president of American Commitment. Phil, welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be with you.
So one of those other big deals that the president ran on was getting rid of our association with the Paris Climate Accords and so forth, these global climate change, global warming nonsense deals we made that seem to benefit a whole lot of people, but not the American citizens. And again, now we're seeming to be shying away from that. What's going on?
Well, the president is officially undecided at the moment, which is not encouraging, considering this is a very crystal clear campaign promise. He said that he would cancel this agreement for very good reason. He explained exactly why, that it was a terrible deal for the United States, that President Obama entered the U.S. into it unconstitutionally, did not seek the advice and consent of the Senate, even though it pretty clearly is a treaty. And yet, here we are. It's almost June. We haven't canceled it, and we're seeing a steady drumbeat saying that we may not. In fact, there was a statement yesterday from Gary Cohn on Air Force One that there are great arguments on both sides of remaining in the agreement or canceling it, and the president hasn't decided yet. And then the day before yesterday, we had Rex Tillerson saying that the president's truly undecided and he may decide this weekend. And, of course, you know, reports are that his daughter and her husband, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, are strongly pressing the president to break his campaign promise and remain in the Paris Climate Treaty.
Here's one of the concerns that people see, and I see it as well, Phil. You mentioned Jared Kushner and Ivanka. You look at Cohn and some of the other folks that are surrounding the president now that are closer advisors. Let's be honest. These are Manhattan liberals in large part. These are not conservative people or Republicans even. I mean, this circle of influence around him has certainly shifted to the left. I don't know what Steve Bannon's role is anymore in the advisory staff. We know that it's certainly not what it was, say, on November 7th, 2016.
Well, Steve Bannon and Scott Pruitt, the EPA administrator, are really the two voices left who are very forcefully pushing the president to keep his campaign promise on this. And, you know, if he decides to do the right thing and cancel this agreement to keep his campaign promise, that's going to be, I think, a very good indicator that you know, even though he's got a lot of liberal advisors around him, he ultimately makes the right decisions and does what he said he would do. If he makes the other decision, if he breaks an explicit campaign promise and says, you know, actually we're going to stay in this climate agreement, that would be a very bad indicator. And so, you know, I get what you're saying, that, you know, there are clearly a lot of other voices now that are being reported as more prominent. But I think, you know, let's see who actually wins the day on this, who actually carries the day, because I don't know that Bannon has necessarily lost his influence so much as other factions are leaking to the press a lot and claiming to have the upper hand. So let's see. This will actually be a very interesting test of, kind of who has the presidency here.
So let me ask you this. The newest distraction now is that Jared Kushner is one of those being investigated by the FBI potentially. It comes from NBC News.
Fake news.
Well, I understand. I don't know how much credibility to give to it. But, you know, I would assume that everybody in Trump's White House, if there's an investigation going on, is going to be asked questions or be the focus of the investigation, at least for some period of time. Could be short, could be long, could be somewhere in between. Does it make any difference?
Well, you know, the way I read that story is that the headline was basically a total lie, because if you read down, you know, to paragraph 4 or 5 or wherever it was, they've got a couple sentences in there saying that, you know, he's a person of interest in the investigation because they think he may be a witness, not because he may be, a perpetrator, as it were. So, you know, what we're seeing with all of these leakers and the media and so forth really is a government at war with the president. And we've never seen anything quite like this. There are a lot of forces intent on destroying this presidency and driving this president from office. And the media gleefully hypes and reports every leak that they get. And, you know, to me, the whole story is not, that there's some evil conspiracy or, the president is working for Vladimir Putin or any of this other crazy stuff. The story here is all of these leaks. And the way that these leakers are working with the media to try to destroy a presidency, that's the story.
Theresa May certainly thinks the leaks are the story and the problem. Now that the leaks have reached into the Manchester investigation, now, you know, you do have New York City police officers working alongside reporters from the New York Times in Manchester concurrently right now. Wouldn't surprise me that some of those leaks came from that spot. But here's the point. The leaks now aren't just damaging the president. You know, if you're out to damage the president, that's one thing. But some of these leakers seem intent on just injuring the United States anytime they can. So it's gone to a different place, I guess.
Well, I think the Trump derangement syndrome. We've seen people lose their minds a little bit in how much they hated Obama and how much they hated Bush, certainly. But this is a whole different level. I mean, these people have completely lost it, and I think it's all going to backfire. Basically, I think that they're not convincing any actual Trump voters that they made a mistake. The real danger for this administration is what we were talking about earlier, what you were talking about in the open there, which is if the president thinks that he has to try to please the people who hate him, and he tries to appeal the liberals, and he starts...
That will never work. That will never work, Phil. I got to leave it there for today. He can't please everybody. It doesn't work that way.
He's got to deliver for his base.
President of American Commitment. Always a good conversation, Phil. I appreciate it. Have a great Friday.
All right. Bye.